He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? All right, let's go back up to the top here, see what some of your guys' questions are. RoboCop, how much leverage do you, Anthony, have into the Lakers organization? Like, can you offer consultation or even trade prospects to them? No. Short answer, no. But I'll pull the curtain back a little bit, and the way that, or an aspect of my job in reporting is, you know, it's just conversation, right? It's conversation. It's, you know, you go to a game or you talk to somebody on the phone and they ask, hey, what are you hearing about this? And you have that conversation about what I'm hearing that Team X is thinking about doing, or what Agent X feels about his client's situation in a different spot or whatever. And then you shoot the shit and you offer up a little bit of information. You get a little information. I've often called it the information economy, right? And so, like, I don't have leverage on the Lakers organization, but I do have relationships, and I try to make sure that those are mutually beneficial relationships between myself and whoever it is that I'm talking to. And that's the case with agents, and that's the case with people from other teams, and that's the case with coaches and assistant coaches and stuff like that. Like, that's how it all kind of goes is, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Oh, wow. Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that. Here's what I'm hearing here. And it's not always that direct, and it's far off, more often than not, it's just talking basketball and gleaning from those conversations what you can. I've always been a very kind of conversational guy. And that's how I prefer to do it. And that's not how everybody does it. But it all starts with just being a decent hang, I guess, and somebody worth talking basketball with. And yeah, as far as like, could I advise them on stuff? Like, yeah, I give my 2 cents like all the time. You know, I will say, like, Lakers need more athleticism, but they're aware of that before I bring it up. All right. The next question here comes from, let's see. One team people will taking a, was from Brian Fritz. One team people will be taking a close look at when it comes to possible trades is New Orleans. How motivated do you think they'll be to making trades, especially with the new front office there? Well, they have no incentive to tank this season because they gave away their unprotected first round pick this season for Derek Queen, who at least looks good. Like, he's playing good basketball. So shouts to them for that. The, look at this. The Lakers just upgraded a new Adebayo to questionable for tomorrow's game in, where are they playing tomorrow? New Orleans, ironically, who I'm talking about right now. So hopefully if it's a blowout, we might get a few Thero minutes. But yeah, the thing with New Orleans is, again, that draft pick really complicates things. And like, they're in the same boat that the Sacramento Kings are kind of in, where Joe Dumars, like, he won the one championship running the Detroit Pistons, right? The team that beat the Lakers. Aside from that, he's had a pretty tough track record as an executive in the NBA. And you know, he has to at some point fire their head coach. And normally when you fire a head coach, like interim coaches don't have the best track record when it comes to winning basketball games, let alone winning playoff games. So like I always say, you know, you could, the world often tells you who you are. The NBA often tells teams who they are. And I always laugh when, you know, Team X trades away superstar Y and they have that typical press conference where the owner or the GM says, oh, you don't you go anywhere. We're trying to win right away. And they prioritize win now players who then you have to try to trade to get the future assets that you probably should have just gotten from by trading the superstar away. And like what winds up happening is the league tells that team, you just traded your superstar. You're not going to be very good. And eventually they start selling off pieces to make up for the things that they didn't get when they traded their superstar. So I would, you know, right now the Pelicans are trying to maintain that they're this win now team and that they're trying to make the playoffs this year and they're trying to do this and they're trying to do that. But eventually, like the league has told them very loudly so far this season, no, you guys suck. You're 2-9. And so like, even if they don't have incentive to tank this year because they traded for Derek Queen, you might wind up tanking regardless. And if you're tanking anyway, you may as well do so to the best of your abilities. So you trade Herb Jones and you trade Trey. I'm forgetting his name. But like, you know, you if you're going to do it, do it. And we'll see if they ever actually do. Now, Joe Dumars is somebody who was in the league office before. He knows to what extent the league kind of frowns on tanking and intentionally making rosters worse for the sake of, you know, improving your draft chances. So to him, he might just look at Adam Silver and be like, look, I'm clearly not doing it for the sake of improving my draft stock, unless he gets draft picks back in this year's draft or something like that. But yeah, I would, you know, it's not necessarily about like incentive here. It's just reality. And the sooner that they face reality and come to grips with that, you know, no matter what it is and no matter how harsh it is, once they figure that out, once they actually listen to the basketball gods or the NBA gods, it's, you know, it's kind of only a matter of time till they start selling at least a couple pieces. Whoops, wrong button. All right, let's go ahead and look at another comment here. And let's see. Yeah, man, I can't believe the Steph Curry thing. Like you guys, you know, I'm in the stretch of the comment section when I reacted to the news and that was crazy. Let's see. Moneyboy 277. Does OKC have every pick in the league? Sure freaking feels like it, right? Like, damn, man, share. they're just like, and it's not just that they have every pick in the league. It's that they have such a great track record of getting guys who fit their culture. And, you know, I didn't say this on yesterday's show. I tweeted it this morning. But the thing that really blew me away watching that game back is how unselfish the Thunder are on both sides of the court. And, you know, we talked about how quick their decisions are made on the court. And part of the reason there is because they're all fully bought into their identity, and they are fully understanding of their identity. And when that is the case, it becomes that much easier to just make the right play within the context of that team's culture on offense or defense. And when you see a team as committed to its culture or to its identity as the Thunder are. That is just unselfishness. That is just checking your ego at the door and showing up and doing whatever it is that needs to be done. And that starts with the superstar at the top of the roster in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and it goes on down through there. And I've been saying now for a while that if you have a superstar who isn't willing to do, if there's anything at all that your superstar can do but isn't willing to do or doesn't want to do, you're kind of sort of screwed, because you're competing in a league against superstars who are willing to do those things. The example, right, is Jokic, who, if he has to score, he'll score. If he has to help his team win through assists or passing, then he'll do that. He's gotten better over the years on defense. That's a matter of accepting, okay, yeah, I got to get better on defense. And, you know, I'm still waiting to see, like, is Luka going to make some of those similar changes? Will Luka be a more willing screener? Will he make a hit ahead pass that isn't necessarily for an assist? Will he be willing to run the court or at least allow the Lakers to run because the Lakers are going to be a good transition team in terms of points per possession? Like, you know, you watch Shai play, and no, he's probably a little overrated now defensively, but he still gets after it. He still cares on that side of the court. And, you know, you look at other superstars like Steph, right? Like, Steph is somebody who over the course of his career, Steph is somebody who, if he wanted to, could demand, hey, I want to run 35 pick and rolls over the course of the game. And I want this to be our offense. But no, he is fully bought into Steve Kerr's motion offense. He's fully bought into being as dangerous off of the ball as he is with it. And as a result, the Warriors have had, you know, one of the more successful stretches, you know, in modern NBA history. And you know, your superstar sets the tone there. And like I look at Giannis sometimes, or even Kevin Durant is another example where those guys, like Kevin Durant, should be a pick and pop player. Giannis should be a pick and roll player. And with Giannis sometimes a little less than willing to run pick and roll, it makes Milwaukee a worse team. They had Dame Lillard there for a while, and that's a natural pick and roll combination. And they didn't run very much of it because Giannis didn't want to. That, to me, makes Milwaukee a worse team, and it makes it that much more difficult to compete in a league where there are superstars who would be willing to do those things for their team. So, yeah, the original question was about like OKC's treasure trove of draft picks, and that's obviously an advantage in and of itself. But to me, OKC's greatest advantage is the culture that has been set by Sam Presti and has been set by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and has been set by Mark Dagno, and then is just fully committed to, 110% commitment up and down that roster to that identity, to that culture. That's so much more valuable than any number of picks that OKC might have. We got another super comment here. Thank you for that, Logan. Logan Missyok writes, "Don't overreact, dude. Luka's been to the finals." No, I'm not saying that Luka sucks or Luka this or Luka that. I'm saying that, like, all right, so he lost to a team in the Boston Celtics where Jason Tatum is perfectly fine operating off of the ball if somebody else has it going. He's an absolute monster defensively. You know, on the perimeter when he has to be. He and Jaylen Brown are both, you know, just terrors on the wing defensively. And that's, you know, that two-way impact is something that we're still waiting for from Luka. So like, yeah, Kyrie wet his pants in that series, and that was probably a much bigger factor than anything Luka did. Luka averaged like almost a 30-point triple-double in that series. He was perfectly fine, though the defense, again, was a struggle. Remember how Windhorst called out Luka for his defense in that series? Like, he was right. He was absolutely right. And that's something that Luka is going to have to continue to work on. So all I'm saying is that, like, if you want to have a chance against some of these teams that do have superstars who are willing to do absolutely anything to win. And this has been the case forever, by the way, right? The reason that the Lakers had as much success with Kobe as they did was because he was a two-way superstar and he was willing to do absolutely whatever it took to win a basketball game. That game seven, he shot like shit. So what did he do? He put his head down. He got to the free throw line. He went out and grabbed whatever it was, 16 or 18 rebounds in that game, and played some incredible defense and basically did whatever it took to keep Rajon Rondo's impact on that series to a minimum. And you know, you look at Michael Jordan and what he was willing to do to win basketball games. Magic Johnson jumping center as a rookie is another thing that comes to mind. This is always how it goes in the NBA, where if you want to win and you want to beat some of these teams that have superstars that are willing to do whatever it takes to win, then your guy also has to be willing to do whatever it takes to win. And that extends beyond the things that they are great at. That extends into some things that they have to learn to improve at, or that extends into some things that aren't as fun to do on a basketball court. And that's, look, I think Luka's going to be really good, and I'm thrilled that he is a Laker. That's just the next step in his development as a superstar, is being more willing to do whatever it possibly takes to win a basketball game. And I think his defense has been better this year. He got into shape this offseason. That's a great start. Let's keep that up. That's all I'm saying. Please don't get too defensive. I already see one of his that Victor guy in the chat that you know is I can tell you're a Luka stan. I guarantee you have a Luka poster or a Luka jersey somewhere in your house, and that's fine. Be a fan, but also there's a entire league that extends beyond the Lakers, and there's some really good fucking basketball players in that league, and there's some really good teams in that league. And what it's going to take to beat some of those players and to beat some of those teams is for Luka to be a little bit better at some of the things that he doesn't particularly love doing. All right, let's go ahead and jump into back into the comment section here. And let's see. Yeah, Rosemary, we're talking about Utah and they traded John Collins because he was winning, helping them win too much. Yeah. Like, it's just like Utah, like they're just unabashedly tanking, and to the point where like a Colangelo might have to step in there. Let's see. We got the poster king. I read a report that LA has turned down deals and won't accept unless it's Joker or Greek. Is this true? And what's AR's value around the NBA? So I'm guessing you're asking if, like what the Lakers have turned down for Austin, and they will only trade Austin if it's for Jokic or Giannis. Is that what your poster king? If you're still here, drop another comment and I'll clear up that. For what it's worth, I haven't seen that report. I do think that the Lakers are, like, because of the noise surrounding Giannis heading into the season, I do think the Lakers bar to trade a first round pick has gone up a little bit. That, you know, excuse me, it would take a little bit more for the Lakers to trade a first round pick this year because they see a path to potentially landing Giannis. Now, that said, it all comes down to Luka. And in this case, I swear this isn't the bash Luka episode. If Luka goes to the front office and says, no, I'm in the best shape of my life. We have LeBron freaking James here. I feel like I can really help contend for a championship this season. I feel like this group is maybe a piece or two away from competing for a championship. Or if Bill Duffy walks in there and offers up that opinion on behalf of Luka, then the Lakers trade that first round pick. It's really as simple as that. And now to this point, LeBron has been a lot more passive aggressive than that. Luka has obviously made his preferences known in terms of like what he was hoping for from the Lakers in last free agency. And they were all good signings. Like I even with Jake LaRavia's recent struggles, I'm happy that he's on the Lakers. DeAndre Ayton, I think, was a really good addition. Though I do kind of think they need a better backup. They might even need a better starter, but I've been happy for the most part with DeAndre Ayton. Marcus Smart has been a revelation in terms of the effort and give a bleep on this team. Really happy that they added him. Those were all not including LaRavia. LaRavia was more of an Austin JJ move. But you know, Luka has used his voice in the organization already, and if he walks into Rob Pelinka's office and says, hey, enough with this Giannis plan. If we get him, we get him. But I want to compete this year. Then the Lakers trade the pick. That's really all it comes down to. Let's see. I'll answer one more since Little Man is still out. He was tired. That is crazy. Let's see. Yes, Victor, I watched that finals. I swear I did. Juan Velasquez, one thing I don't understand is all people talk about is how small and unathletic we look, yet we don't want to trade Reeves. He is unathletic and small. I don't understand. Well, if he's playing point guard, he's actually huge by point guard standards. So, and like, my thing is, I think there are ways to add athleticism that don't involve trading Austin. If you move the first round pick, that is enough. And that will be enough by the time we get to the trade deadline to add an athletic two-way wing. And I would much rather see this team with athleticism surrounding, like Derrick Jones Jr., right, is with the Clippers this season. If their season continues going the way that it is going, and it becomes available, you could get Derrick Jones Jr. without trading without trading Austin Reeves. Derrick Jones Jr. looked really good made it, I believe, to a finals with Luka Doncic. And that's a guy that like you could probably go get for an expiring contract and a second round pick and, you know, maybe a second and a swap. And that guy immediately understands how to play with Luka and what exactly the Lakers need from him, right? And I would much rather do that than now. Look, if the Lakers can trade Austin for Giannis, obviously, right? And we got to figure out where that bar resides. You know, we got to see. Obviously, if the bar is somewhere here, Giannis and Jokic clear by quite a bit. But, you know, where does that bar go to? Where does that bar extend to? Before the season, I had people trying to convince me they should trade him for a backup center. I'm sorry. That would mean that the bar that should reside like right here somewhere is like down by my feet. And I'm not willing to trade Austin for the sake of fit or athleticism in a league that is filled with athleticism. Like for that low value. So especially, by the way, while he's on the contract that he's on right now, if you play out this season and then you give him his new contract and in the time that it, you know, so the Lakers would, I would probably say, I think the way that it's probably going to play out this offseason is Austin and the Lakers, they sit down, they hash out the number, and the Lakers say to him, can we sit on this for a little bit because you have such a small cap hold? And then we'll use our bird rights to sign you to whatever the number is that we land on. And Austin, his agent and his camp and the Lakers, they have a really good relationship. That's all I ever hear. And if it comes down to that, then that's how that will play out. And in that time between signing that new contract and mid-December, when Austin would be eligible to be traded again, in that time, if you've surrounded those guys with athleticism and it still isn't enough, then okay, you use Austin. I would guess that he's probably going to sign a 2-and-1 type deal where he has 2 years at like 35 mil each, and then a player option for the third year, you know, somewhere between 35 and 40 million bucks. And some team is going to want him at that contract. I can guarantee you that. Memphis would love to get Austin right now. I bet they would trade Ja Morant for Austin right now. And, you know, they can't. And I don't think the Lakers would take that deal. But, like, that's you know, where you're probably heading is you play out this season, you do what you can do to add some athleticism to this roster, and you do so by trying to keep this, like, you know, the rotation intact so that you're just adding to the rotation. And, you know, you use Dalton's, he has another year on his contract for like $4 million next year. That's nothing. He's still a recent first round pick with a very reasonable contract. You use that. You use Gabe's expiring. He looked good, frankly, before he got hurt. Some team is going to need a point guard. Look at Houston. You look at Dallas, right? Like, they'll probably be able to send Gabe to either one of those teams. Miami still likes Gabe. So there's going to be a market for Gabe Vincent this year. You have Maxi Kleber's expiring. That's just an expiring contract. He played last night. He looks cooked. And then you have, you know, if you really desperately want to move him, you have Rui's expiring contract too. So there are things that the Lakers would be able to do to add athleticism to this roster that don't involve moving Austin Reaves right now. I'm not saying I am never going to be open to moving Austin Reaves. And look, it might just be like, I see the comment there at the very bottom there from Doggy, who says, you overvalue Reaves. Maybe, but the dude dropped an almost 50-point triple-double earlier this year. Might be you undervalue Austin Reaves, right? The guy has, like, all he's ever done is improve every single year he's been in the league. He's been good as a primary creator. He's been good as a secondary creator. He's been good as a tertiary creator. And yeah, he had a bad playoff series last year. I'm not going to make my final decision and trade this dude to a spot where he'll probably thrive as a team's primary creator. I'm not going to trade him for the sake of that one bad playoff series and just to bring in a little bit more athleticism. That's not smart roster or asset management. See what you can do elsewhere on your roster. And if you can supplement Luka and Austin's weaknesses with other players' strengths, and you go from there. I that's how I would do it. Maybe you guys disagree. That's fine. Like, that's the whole point here, is for me to disagree with a comment section. But that, by the way, what I'm talking about, that's how the Lakers see it too. So I don't really know what to tell you. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. This was a fun one. I love these Q&As. Should I do more of these Q&As? I think I can. I know Jovan basically does one at the end of all of his episodes. I wouldn't mind getting to that point here with you guys too. So over the course of all of these recordings or streams or whatever, Hit me with questions and I'll answer as many of them at the end of it if we have time, as I can. So hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Those things really help the show. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow with Pete.